Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and thank you for joining me today. Well, on today's broadcast, we'd like to look in detail a little bit at the Apostle Thomas, known as the Doubting Thomas, if you will, and see what we can learn about his experiences after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, it is recorded in the Gospel of John, and of course, John is known as the Apostle of Love, but he's also known as John the Evangelist, and he reveals his evangelistic purpose for writing the Gospel that bears his name with these words, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." That's John 20:31. The last example that John used to accomplish his purpose of convincing people that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of God, was the account of the appearance of the risen Lord to the disciples a week following the resurrection. And this is John the 20th chapter, verses 26 through 29. Now, for some reason, Thomas had been absent on that first Easter Sunday evening when Jesus first appeared to the apostles as a group. Now, we don't know why he was absent, and I mean, he could have had some pressing personal consideration, but, you know, considering what we know from Scripture, we might assume that he was absent because he fell into a state of spiritual despondency. And that kind of attitude could be readily understood if we could just try to imagine the depth of his disappointment into which the death of Christ had plunged him as well as all of the disciples. The death of Jesus was for them a humiliating public disgrace. He had died as a condemned criminal in the most cruel manner that could be inflicted upon a breaker of the law, yet he was innocent. And of course, his death plunged their political hopes into a complete eclipse, for they had dreamed of glory with him in a restored kingdom of Israel, and they thought it was going to be now, but it wasn't. And if we would properly understand and learn from Thomas's experience with Jesus, it might be good for us to recall the devotion he had to the Lord, and at the same time his frustration as he contemplated Jesus' departure from Galilee for Jerusalem. Remember that incident? Jesus had said he would be betrayed and crucified. So Thomas knew that this was a real possibility. So in John, the 11th chapter, verse 8, when Jesus had declared his intention to return to Bethany, the disciples naturally sought to dissuade him from his plans. And when Thomas discovered that Jesus was determined to go, he spoke to his fellow disciples and said, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." That's John 11:16. So because of Thomas's devotion as well as his deep disappointment, we can easily understand why he could have fallen into deep despair and thereby missed the first appearance of our Savior. But you know, while it's easy to scorn Thomas for his doubts, let's compare our love with the love that Thomas showed when he followed Christ from Galilee to Judea, convinced that he might die for his Lord. Now, let's look at the appearance of the risen Christ to his disciples and to Thomas. This is John the 20th chapter, verses 26 through 27. And Thomas was present a week following the first Easter Sunday evening when Christ appeared in the upper room. They were happy. They'd seen Jesus, the disciples. And Thomas experienced the unchanging love of his master. In John 20:27, Jesus expressed gentle and patient concern for one individual's faith. What does he say? He said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands." He was concerned about Thomas's emotional state, his mental condition, his faith. And just as the Lord was concerned about Thomas, we can be assured that you and I are just as precious in his sight. Jesus never rejects sincere inquiry. The living Lord's love met Thomas's doubts, and he used every possible way to dispel them. And first of all, Thomas became really aware of the omniscience and the knowledge of his living Lord, because even though he wasn't present when Thomas made his demand, remember what he said? He said, "Except I shall see in his hand the print of his nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." That's John 20:25. And in order that Thomas might be absolutely certain of Christ's victory over death in the grave, what did the Lord do? He accommodated him. He said to Thomas in John 20:27, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side." He literally quotes him, "And be not faithless, but believing." And so, you know, in one sense, we could be grateful that Thomas demanded a personal validation, if you will, or certification to dispel his doubts. That should minister to the skeptics who said such a thing is not possible, victory over death. There's no such thing ever happened before. And that's true, except in the case of Jesus. He conquered death for all who would believe. Thomas wanted unimpeachable evidence that Christ had really conquered death in the grave. Now, those who believe in the scientific method can be grateful that at least one of the apostles was determined to be absolutely certain that Jesus had really conquered death and the grave. And what was Jesus' response? He was given a sympathetic and complete confirmation for his faith. There wasn't a single demand that was unmet. Each of his concerns was met with a tenderness and an understanding by a triumphant Savior who had risen from the grave and conquered death. And what did Thomas do when this happened? First of all, he was aware that the Lord had heard what he had said. He repeated his very words. And when he recognized that this personage was indeed Jesus, he said in John 20:28, "My Lord and my God." For Thomas, the resurrection meant that his Lord, the Son of God, had come back to life. And this experience was a life-transforming encounter with Jesus. Think about that. The disciples, I mean, we're reading the account 2,000 years later, and yet for them, it was the greatest tragedy of their lives. They didn't understand what Jesus had been telling them. And when he appeared to them, he breathed upon them. They were saved. And then they still needed further revelation and understanding. And that's why he told them to stay in Jerusalem, stay in the upper room, tarry until they would be endued with power from on high. So this was an amazing time in their lives. They had just gone through such a terrible trauma, the knowledge that, and their the hope of Israel, their Messiah, was nailed to a cruel cross, and they simply didn't understand. Think of how traumatic that was for them, how depressed they must have been, how sorrowful, how fearful. What was going to happen? Where were they? What were they going to do? Imagine the kinds of thoughts that had gone through their minds. We can bring the scriptures to life if we will use our imagination in such a fashion. Now, remember, when Jesus was still alive, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And some answered, a great prophet. Peter made this remarkable statement. It was the result of revelation. that he had given, had received from the Father, and he voiced a great confession of faith in response to the question of Jesus, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16. And so Thomas responded to this revelation of the risen Christ with a great confession of Jesus' lordship as well as his divinity. He said, "My Lord and my God." In confessing Christ's lordship, Thomas was recognizing his authority, command, and to expect obedience, because that is what a Lord does. He has absolute authority. And, beloved, the continued existence of the church in the world for over 20 centuries after Christ's death and resurrection is proof that the living Lord has walked down through the corridors of time to this very present day that we're living in. The miracle of salvation in people's lives through trusting in the living Lord should encourage us to believe that he can perform miracles in our lives if we will trust him. Beloved, he is the same today and forever. Well, there's more that I want to share on the risen Lord. It's really fascinating just to look, to take some time to look at the times that Jesus did appear to his disciples and what he was sharing. What can we learn from these times and interactions? Well, it's been a blessing to minister to you today. The time has flown by, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for listening, for joining me, and I do invite you, if any time you miss a broadcast, just go to unveilchrist.org, and the broadcasts are archived there. You can listen anytime at your convenience. And I invite you, if you have prayer needs, the announcer in just a moment is going to give that contact information. Take just a moment and send that email or drop me a line. You don't have to write much, and I know you'll be blessed by what the Lord gives in response to you. Thank you for joining me. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,